You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So today marked D-Day for Treasury to submit its initial technical compliance report for the Financial Action Task Force's new mutual evaluation. You'll remember we exited as a country the global watchdog for money laundering and terrorist financing's grey list after much reform. Now a new assessment cycle starts. We look at the road ahead where this is concerned with CEO of ReliComp, Bradley Elliott. Bradley, thank you very much for your time this evening. What do we need to know about this latest assessment?
Yeah, absolute pleasure, Judith. Thanks for having me. Well, South Africa obviously exited the grey list around a year ago, and the latest assessment is just becoming more and more stringent. So international watchdogs have been tightening expectations on how countries police suspicious money flows, investigate corruption, and enforce penalties when it comes to controls fail. So yeah, they really are increasing scrutiny at the moment. And I think what's important to remember is that South Africa was originally put on the grey list, not just for lax processes, but actually prosecution of these cases, which still seems to be a huge gap at the moment.
What then does that say, especially when we look at the road ahead? You speak of very stringent criteria. Does that suggest that we might fall short?
I don't think we're going to fall short. I think sitting on the other side of the table where a lot of our customers are regulated, the regulators are carrying out inspections. They really are enforcing the regulation as far as reasonably possible. And I think we won't be put back on the list. The banks are sitting in the middle of this fight at the moment. So, you know, they have to report up to the regulators. And it really is about prosecution. We are seeing some movement on the prosecution front. I think the impact looking forward is if we do get put back on the list, it is obviously a reputational damage to the country. But more importantly, it slows down inflows of investment into the country, and the consumer at the end of the day faces the damages, because ultimately the cost of compliance falls on them from these financial services institutions. The road ahead is not going to be easy. We've still got a lot of work to do. But I do believe that the regulators and the financial institutions in South Africa are doing a good enough job at the moment.
You mentioned that the consumer bears the cost of non-compliance. Can you just expand on that for us?
Sure. So when you have to increase your compliance obligations to the regulators, that comes with both a technology and human cost to these financial services institutions. And typically that then falls into their cost of sale, and they need to protect their margins. So ultimately what lands up happening is that falls down to the consumer to bear the cost. In most instances, you'll see a rise in fees, or at least some sort of compliance fee being passed on to the consumer indirectly, either be through an increased bank fee as an example, or other sort of payment fees that come about. And then from a macroeconomic perspective, as I mentioned earlier, inflows of investment slow down because of increased scrutiny. That puts impact on the economy, which could also lead to kind of short-term inflation that wouldn't necessarily be there.
Okay. You mentioned that we are making progress when it comes to prosecutions. Does the quality of investigations into complex financial crimes, does it matter?
It matters hugely. And this really does start with the information that is fed to these investigators to carry out their investigations. And that information comes from the financial institutions that are reporting suspicious activities around anti-money laundering and corruption. Well, more anti-money laundering than corruption. But the quality of the data, the quality of the information that gets fed to investigators is extremely important. We do have the skills. There is a skill shortage from an investigative point of view. But that's why the regulators put so much pressure on the financial services institutions, is because the quality of the data ultimately can lead to either successful or unsuccessful prosecution.
There are deficiencies in the country's anti-money laundering and terrorist financing framework. If we take a look, for instance, the General Laws or Anti-Money Laundering and Combating Terrorism Financing Amendment Bill, once that is adopted by Parliament after certain processes, do you see it going some way to maybe tick a particular box where the Financial Action Task Force is concerned?
Yes, I think obviously that's going to make our anti-money laundering regulation far more robust. That will tick a few of the boxes. I mean, we've already ticked, I think there were 27 items on the checklist for the FATF that we have already accounted for. And I think it's basically around the implementation of that. So we've moved from a checkbox kind of exercise in terms of regulation into a risk-based approach. And the new amendment really enforces execution of that risk-based approach on financial services institutions.
I do wonder, South Africa is not the exception to the rule here, is it?
Definitely not.
Okay.
We are not the exception to the rule. You might note that a few other African countries recently got put back onto the grey list. Namibia, I think Kenya was one of them as well. So we're definitely not the exception to the rule, not only within Africa, but globally. And I think we are doing it really. I want to emphasize that I do think that at least from a regulatory perspective and the regulators and financial institutions that we work with are really doing all they can to combat anti-money laundering and financial crime.
Maybe we can reiterate your advice to the financial institutions that you do indeed deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I think the advice is this doesn't only sit with technology. I mean, we're obviously sitting from a technology provider perspective. It sits with process. It sits with the governance processes that they've got in place in the governance forums and just the ability to move really quickly. I mean, we don't want to go into the whole AI conversation, but, you know, that is a huge threat. And I think a lot of the failures within financial institutions fall on personnel who might have been, let me say, captured as opposed to the systems and integrity of the overarching system, which is actually, you know, what was brought up earlier is that there is a particular bank where one of the managers is sitting in court over an 87 million rand corruption and money laundering activity case. So a lot of the failures tend to be people related, not technology or process related. And my advice is, you know, how do you govern for that and make sure that that doesn't happen?
Interesting. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Bradley Elliott is CEO of ReliComp.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.